Welcome to the 45th Anal Probe segment on the Anal Podcast. Join us again as we break down all the topics in the title, what's going on around us and in the world at large. Do you like the Anal Pod? Of course you do, that's why you're here. Tell a friend, like, subscribe, review, wherever you found us. That is how we get noticed, and we love to get noticed. Feel free to email us at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com. Sit back, relax, enjoy the Anal Pod. Welcome to the Anal Podcast. Tonight I am joined by Jacob, John, Rochelle, and Jared, and anyone else that decides to drop by. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Oh, hi, I'm Jacob from Jacob's Bipolar Adventures.
Hi, I'm John, and I had an intro, but I forgot it, and I'm sorry.
I'm Rochelle. I am very tired today.
I'm Jared, and I'm also intro-less, unfortunately.
What the hell, guys? You have one job, and it's to come up with a good intro.
I have so many other
jobs. But at least
jobs.
I've got an outro.
Haha, perfect.
Oh, I have one.
Okay.
Hi, I'm John, and remember to tip your delivery drivers.
It.
Perfect.
It's okay, we'll fix it in post.
Just kidding. Yeah, we'll try to. Anyway, we have just randomly started recording today, and we were going to get on to the topic of what is currently trending on Twitter, and that would be Comrade Candace. Why is Candace a comrade now, you ask all of a sudden? Well, she gone down and stuck her foot in her mouth.
Well, isn't it modus operandi for the Republican / conservative / Trumpist / whatever you want to call them to just say the quiet parts out loud now?
Well, it's not that at all. It's just her just miswording something. So here we go. So this is the first tweet that is now immortalized as Comrade Candace. The COVID vaccine saves lives, which is why the government is making it free. Okay, I'm sorry, it's just K. So explain to me why insulin and asthma inhalers cost so much money. If the vaccines are really about the government trying to save your life, why do life-saving medicines cost so much? And then, like, the USSR anthem starts playing.
You know? So, for listeners, can we break down exactly everything that's wrong with that tweet first?
But I like her to be clear. Part next, or you know, her statement backpedaling. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, the backpedaling is funny, but is there much wrong? Like, it's clearly an observation that
you were picking up what I was putting down.
It's clearly an observation that for Medicare for All, she's advocating for Medicare for All, right? Isn't that what she's doing in this tweet?
I think it's the first time Candace Owens might actually not be wrong.
I mean, she's not wrong, but I mean, her motivation is wrong. We know that her motivation isn't that these things should be free.
What? Yeah, I mean, yes, but that's the joke,
right?
What it reminds me of, though, is when people kind of try to give you the argument back of, yeah, well, where did the flu go last year? Like, it's some kind of gotcha. And I'm like, well, there were less cases of it because we were all socially distanced and there's hand sanitizer every 10 feet that you walk anywhere and people are wearing masks. So it's a virus and it didn't spread. And they're like, like, I've had that argument with someone, and it's really strange. I'm like, but that's a good thing, though. Well,
to be clear, the argument here isn't that medicine should be free. Candace Owens believes medicine should be affordable and believes it would be if it weren't for Big Pharma racket. The argument here is that I'm not buying that our government is suddenly in businesses of saving lives.
I disagree. I believe her motivation is that the vaccine is a conspiracy, and that's why it's free.
Well, no, exactly, right? So it went from, like, the first tweet went from Medicare for All, then to, no, actually, I'm an anti-vaxxer.
Man, so close.
When I'm positive that she's had the vaccine.
She probably got it early.
I feel like most of the people in positions of power and authority have had the vaccine for a very, very long time, whether they have outwardly spoken for it or against it.
I think most most people in power or with just enough money probably were vaccinated well before, like, nurses, doctors, etc., teachers.
Didn't that happen to Tucker Carlson a couple weeks ago? Like, someone was on a show and was like, hey, did you get vaccinated? And he just would refuse to answer.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So all these right-wing assholes have been vaccinated. Like, they're just selling you the Kool-Aid to get ratings. Which, again, ties into that thing I think both John and I mentioned, that it's like... but there was this insider on Capitol Hill that's like, this politics, it's professional wrestling. It's all an act. Like, they're all playing characters. Like, Tucker Carlson, Ted Cruz.
That was kind of, there was a part in that that took me aback a little bit when the person speaking was like, and then I realized that they think that I'm doing the same thing. And they think that they're interacting with everybody under the assumption that they think everybody is just playing a part as a character. And there are some people that they really believe what they're saying, and they believe it because it has either like affected them personally, or that's just what they actually believe. They're not just like selling something on TV for them. It's,
yeah,
that kind of like, not, I don't know, it just like, it unsettled me a little bit. I was like, ew, I don't like that at all. Like, how you can just step away and be like, yeah.
What do we think the reason could be for like why they're able to believe that? Like, for me, I immediately just assume that they can kind of afford to be this way because they've never really been challenged, and just that's just the way their life has been. Like, you know, who ever told Donald Trump he was wrong until he became president?
I think narcissism is probably a part,
right,
of it.
But like, you kind of have to be a narcissist to think you can get elected. Maybe it's interesting to think about. You got to think that these people have been this way for most, if not all, of their lives. And there are mental disorders that, like, this is a symptom of. Narcissism is one of them. Autism is one of them. So it's very, very interesting to think about, like, it from that angle. And, like, you know, these people are born into money, so they don't have to worry about the problems the same way that we worry about problems. Like, if, you know, they happen to have a mental disorder or something, they don't necessarily have to worry about it as being as debilitating as somebody that doesn't have the means to get treatment. So they just kind of live their lives not treating it and being positively reinforced for being the way they are. That's a really kind of very meta / maybe esoteric look at the way our system functions, where, you know, all of American politic is professional wrestling, and it kind of just keeps feeding itself.
Yeah, there's nuances, I think, where there's egotism and there's some narcissism, but there's also, for some people, that need to feel needed. There's almost, in the same way where in the acting community, it's almost the same thing where it's like a, why not me? Why not me to fill this acting role? Why not me to fill this XYZ? Why shouldn't I do that? Who else is going to do it? People love me. I want people to love me too. So it's kind of that. There are some nuances to it. And when you dig into, say, the acting community, or when you dig into, say, the comedy community, you will find things popping up like ADHD, or you'll find things popping up like depression, major depressive disorder, that sort of thing. Sometimes you'll find bipolar disorder cropping up. And by no means is that something that makes actors or comedians terrible people. I would destigmatize that all day long. But when you get into politics, now you start finding something different, because power corrupts. And I'm not saying every politician's a bad person, but, you know, you start finding more nuances and more, you know, more hiccups in the system, because it does attract narcissists and it does attract people who are more egotistical, because that power does corrupt and that power is so attractive.
Interesting.
Well, I think it really shows the sort of disconnect between like what we're told about liberal democracy and how it works versus like how it works in reality. And I don't know necessarily to go that the angle you've been going with it, but I mean, you know, we're told that you elect people and then they listen to you and try to, you know, make their constituents happy, you know, by passing legislation or whatever. But in reality, that's not the case, because all these people are in the fucking pockets of whatever businesses are giving them the most money, or whatever super PACs are giving them the most money. So if they want to keep getting reelected, right, they have to have this, they have to be a character that people want to vote for, because they're never going to fulfill the material needs of people because they're prevented from doing that, because the people that give them thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, right, over their political career, don't want them to actually materially help you. So again, they latch onto this like Trumpian, just over the top personalities, and like that's, people latch onto that because it's something different, and I don't know, I guess it speaks to them on a level, because, you know, if they're not getting their needs met, you know, this person at least tells it straight, or like they're dunking on whoever they don't like, so that's a reason to vote for them, because there is no reason to vote for anyone who is gonna fulfill your material needs unless you're like an uber rich person. So to me, it makes perfect sense that they've created these characters of themselves so that they can just keep getting reelected, because it's not like their policies are going
to
do it.
It's also much, much less difficult to do completely heinous and immoral things when you're playing a character. And when you go home and crawl into your bed, you're probably able to sleep at night if you go ahead and role play that and say, oh, well, that's not me. That's the person I have to be when I'm at work.
Good point.
Yeah, you can divorce yourself from it. And that's probably kind of the same reason why it's so taboo in America to talk about your politics. Like, it's something you're not supposed to talk about. At least I've always been told that. Like, don't tell.
Me too. And I don't understand that.
Right. Or don't talk about your paycheck.
Well, here's the million-dollar question, right? Now, when Ted Cruz liked that porn on Maine on Twitter, was that the character of Ted Cruz, or was that the real Ted Cruz coming out? For 1 second.
When Ted Cruz liked that porn on 9/11.
Oh, that's right! It was 9/11. I didn't know Ted Cruz liked porn, but good on you, Ted.
Everybody likes porn. Just depends on what they call their porn.
Well,
speaking of porn, did anyone see Bezos' space dick?
Quite unfortunately.
Like, they're all shaped like penises. Like, every spaceship has been a giant dick.
Okay, but this one has a very clear head, mushroom tip.
Very clear head, yeah.
Yes, the mushroom tip is undeniable.
To make it more aerodynamic, that's for sure.
Would it?
I just wonder if there's a hole at the top.
Well, that's where the parachute came out of, right?
They all have to lower themselves down on a little, like, on a little seat.
Jared, what was the sound it made when it came out?
Oh. Yeah.
Seriously though, I can't quit looking at this thing. There have to be dildos shaped like this on the market already.
Like, well, it already looks like a fucking dildo. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't even have to mock it, like build one to mock it. We can just buy one that exists. It looks just like it and
someone
label it Bezos
Amazon
space
right
dick.
Now.
I wonder if it'll become like a toy for Christmas that people like the Harry Potter broom that came out that just kind of vibrated, that like a bunch of little kids wanted, but for different reasons.
Well, see, but this has to be like the head has to shoot off just like the real rocket, right? I mean, it's got to detach.
Wait, the head's supposed to come off?
Yeah, baby, if you do it right.
Oh.
Okay, so I know we wanted to make fun of Jeff Bezos' space dick, but more seriously, the like richest dude ever was like, I'm so rich, I'm gonna fly a dick into space. It got more coverage, period, this month than climate change did in all of 2020. And like, our country was pretty much on fire a lot in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. Including the ocean now, so.
It's just stage studio wrestling, so why well, would climate change doesn't get you ratings?
I mean, to be fair to that assessment, like, there was also COVID happening. I feel like that might have taken up excessive amount of time, but also, you know, the mainstream media hardly ever talks about climate change in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were, maybe that meme is trying to draw an analogy between, like, what he did and what he could have maybe accomplished with the money.
Or just what narratives the capitalist class likes to shove down your throat.
Or both. Yeah, sure.
Saw a pretty funny meme that said, I miss the good old days of, like, when billionaire projects were public libraries and, like, building theaters and stuff.
No, they just fly dicks to space.
Yeah, at least they helped the people that they horribly exploited. And
right? Yeah, at least now we've got some kick-ass libraries hanging out.
At least
we
have some sweet libraries after you work those people to death, Andrew Carnegie. Well, so I think one of my favorite parts about it, which by favorite is just ridiculously ironic, it's, you've probably all heard, you know, like the astronauts go out into space, which I don't even know, like, I guess Bezos technically went into space, but he barely went to fucking space, by the way. Barely.
He just grazed it, right?
Yeah, they didn't go into orbit. They didn't go into orbit, you know, so I don't think that fucking counts. But we don't need to get into that right now. Like, when the space race was happening, right, and you'd have, like, USS, the communists versus the capitalists, but then, like, the astronauts would go up, no matter where they're from, and it's like, they see how tiny the Earth is, and they're like, oh my god, we're just this insignificant speck of dust, and, like, you know, they have, like, they, you know, become Bodhisattvas, and, like, they ascend to this new level of consciousness, and it's like, oh, we have to all just support each other and help each other. And, like, fucking Bezos goes up there, looks at the Earth, and he's like, well, fuck, we should pollute space instead.
Exactly. Thank you.
It's pronounced Bodhisattva.
Thank you.
This new frontier of passenger spacecraft and passenger space travel opens up a new can of worms of environmental pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. And no one's talking about that when these wackadoodle billionaires are just launching themselves up into space. This is dangerous. Just the more that we just send up into space, the more that we're polluting and the more that we're spending our resources and the more, you know, it's just a waste. It's just a waste. And we're not even doing it. No scientific purpose for any of it. Just people who are just hitching a ride to say that they did it.
It's absolutely true. That'll kind of bleed into my favorite part of all of this, if we're going to talk about that. Mine is that when he came back, he thanked all of the workers and all of the Amazon customers because they paid for his trip. He thanked us for paying for his trip to space.
Well, fucking said that. Yep.
We did, not
said,
only...
Thank you to the Amazon workers, and that just... Bro, they've got to pee in bottles! Like, you don't... They can't even take a bathroom break.
To be fair, while he was in space, they all got to use the bathroom.
One time, though! One time!
I bet there was cake in the break room.
No one wants to eat it, because no one can eat anything at work, because if you do, you might have to use the restroom.
And then you might not get paid.
You might just fall over dead.
My favorite part of Bezos going to space is the fact that I gave absolutely zero shits about it. None. Nada. Don't care. I think it would have been a lot more fun if whenever he got back and he did his little speech, he just would have went, "It is flat!" and then walked away. I think that would have been a hell of a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what would have been even more entertaining? If instead of going to space, he just ended world hunger.
Whenever he thanked his workers and his customers for paying for his trip to space was, we've actually paid for it two times over. Let us not forget that we had to bail out Amazon to pay for his space company, or bail out his space company to pay for Amazon.
That one.
We did that. And then, you know, he just used his Amazon money to go up to space, and then he thanks us all for it. Did he work really hard to achieve this dream goal thing? No. Can anyone work hard enough now to achieve going to space like Jeff Bezos did, the pinnacle of our capital utopia? No. I just want to stress, and I would like to stress this every episode, that the bootstraps ideology is a complete myth. It's not a thing. There is no trickle down. It's not going to happen. Working harder doesn't get you into space. exploiting people does. Anyway, Jared, talk about Fritos.
No, not Fritos yet. Uber.
Someone else needs to talk about Uber. I don't know enough.
Well, I didn't know that Uber was on strike until today, but it turns out that they are on strike in Pittsburgh even, and it's because of Prop 22 passing in California, which basically locked them into a new third special category of employment that basically bones them out of everything. Not only did this new proposition come out of nowhere, it came directly from the pockets of those that would benefit from it, paying to the tune of $200 million for finances to support the proposition that would keep these people from being compensated appropriately for their positions. Fuck you, Alexa! You're ruining my show! Alexa, stop! Look, she heard me talking about Bezos.
He's a mouthy bitch right now.
She's... God damn it.
I feel like that was very appropriate for what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrifying.
Oh my god, I'm freaking out.
She's stepping up to bat for her lord and master.
Tell her just to read Das Kapital.
She might.
Aloud to you.
I doubt it.
A podcast.
Anyway, but yes, the Uber strike was heavily paid for by the corporations in which are screwing the worker. And it did pass, and a lot of the, quote, gig economy workers are striking now, because if it passed there, other companies are going to do it other places, and we will not be able to, what is it, Jared, seize the means of production?
Sure.
So, yeah, that's all I really got on that. The Ubers are striking. They're working an entire week, you know, 40, 50 hours, making $100 after taxes. And that barely pays for the gas to drive around 9-10 hours a day.
Yep. Yeah, it sucks. And that's why you always have to tip your delivery drivers.
Is that this episode's theme?
Yeah, this episode's theme is I'm stressed and I have no money because I'm working in the gig economy and trying to go to school. And I need a tetanus shot, and it's too expensive. And the other day, I only made $30. I'm laughing so I don't cry.
Wait, how long were you working and made $30?
It was like an 8-hour day.
Jesus fucking Christ. That's disgusting.
Well, the price of gas and...
Yep.
Just, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you're delivery drivers, you have nothing to lose but your chains.
Unfortunately, like we discussed in our last episode, to do something like that requires lots of planning and lots of support and lots of solidarity. And that's something that our country clearly isn't offering, because most people probably have no damn clue about the other strikes that are going on. That would be the Frito-Lay strike and the Alabama coal miners strike. And those two things, Jared, I know you are a little more familiar with those. The Frito-Lay one being a little more shocking, because I just love Doritos so much.
Yeah, well, Frito, I mean, it's pretty disgusting that, I mean, the workers are talking about having 12-hour shifts, basically, like 7 days a week, which barely enough time to go home and sleep before you have to go to work again. And then dying at work, and then they just, like... pull their body aside and so keep working. It's just disgusting. So these workers are on strike, and they've been on strike, I think this is the third week, and they're asking that people you know, boycott Frito-Lay's brand and the company and everything to, you know, assist them with their strike. So the thing about this is I was able to find an infographic here. So Frito-Lay's is owned by PepsiCo. If you want to support the strike, the food that you should not buy, we have Lay's, obviously, Doritos, Cheetos, Fritos, Tostitos, Ruffles, Smart Food, Sun Chips, Stacy's, Funyuns, Sentitas, Miss Vicky's, Rolled Gold, Munchos, Munchies, I can't read that logo, Nut Harvest, Grandma's Cookies, Simply, Cracker Jack's, Matador's, Quaker, Chewy, Aunt Jemima, Cap'n Crunch, Life Cereal, Bear.
Not Life Cereal.
Sabra. But, okay, and there's a couple more.
Well, that's good news. Conservatives are already boycotting, what's the one?
Aunt Jemima.
There you go.
Wait, Aunt Jemima was on this list?
Yeah, Aunt Jemima's owned by PepsiCo.
Oh, and, for God's sakes.
But I know this is going to be really sad to some pod members, maybe listeners as well. Owned by PepsiCo. So Mountain if you want to. Yeah, we got Pepsi, we got Mountain Dew, Sierra Mist, Gatorade, Starbucks, Aquafina, Lifewater.
Wait, Starbucks?
Bubbly, no! Propel. Yeah.
Not bubbly!
Pure Leaf.
You have to make sacrifices here.
Lipton.
Not my sparkling water.
Brisk, Tropicana, Izzy, SodaStream, Sobe, Naked, and Mug Root Beer. It's just, I mean, it's insane. Like, if you want to support, like, one factory of people that are to boycott products that they sell, like, capitalism just monopolizes everything. Like, why does one fucking company own Pepsi and, like, Life cereal and, like, Tropicana juices, potato chips?
What you're saying is not buying Doritos is the same as assassinating Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I can see the Charlie Day. Or
the exact same thing.
Just the lines, like, yes, yes, that's how you get to that.
Well, no, that's what started that's what the entangling alliances made the war happen. And now if I buy Doritos, I'm gonna kill a bunch of workers.
Well, I ate a bunch of Doritos today, and now I feel like they're blood Doritos that came off that poor dead guy's line. That was like his last bag of Doritos he packed. Oh God, I feel filthy.
Well, Rob, I don't know if you've watched Sonic the Hedgehog's cartoon, but in every episode he says his famous phrase. Jared, what is it?
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
That's his catchphrase.
Well, gotta go fast and then parentheses towards communism. Is that also?
Yeah, well, that's like his secondary phrase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, there is absolutely no way to segue to anything that I got on here.
What are we talking about next? I can do it. I did it last week. What do you got?
It's either Britney stuff or Delta variant.
Okay. Speaking of sacrificing human life on the altar of capitalism, how's Britney Spears?
Well, if there's anybody who could actually bring Republicans and Democrats together, it turns out it's Britney Spears. Because two members of the House of Representatives proposed a bill that aims to protect Britney Spears and other individuals under legal guardianships and conservatorships. Representative Charlie Crist, a Democrat from Florida, and Representative Nancy Mace, a representative from South Carolina, introduced the bipartisan Free Britney Act on Tuesday. If passed, the Free Britney Act would give individuals under a legal conservatorship or guardianship the right to ask for their court-appointed private guardian to be replaced with a public guardian who is free from financial conflicts of interest.
What you're telling me is that we live in a reality that's so wibbly-wobbly that the only way we can agree on anything is to free Britney.
That's the only thing that we can come together on.
Also, there's going to be a law in the books, the Free Britney law?
If passed, that would be something that even kids would learn about in history books. There's the Free Britney Act.
Now, my question is I would agree if that passes, the kids would learn about the Free Britney Act, but would they learn about how and why Bill Cosby walked free?
Who knows? Oh,
what
no.
I think might be a better question is, would they learn that there are resources to walk away from an abusive relationship? Would they be able to recognize signs of abuse and control and manipulation in a relationship and say, hey, this isn't okay. I don't think that I like this and I should walk away from this. Because I feel like that's kind of, you know, one of the very like basic things is you have to learn signs of when you are not okay.
So many good hot takes on this. John, Jared, what do you think? Notice how I made Jin's one person. I'm doing that now.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Perfect.
I don't know. It's not a topic that, like, I'm I feel like I know enough to do it proper justice, so I kind of stay out of it. I apologize if people want to hear what I think, but I assure you, I don't really think much about it. I think it's a shame. I think she deserves to run her own life. And I think, you know, we've kind of... What is... There's some weird-ass music playing outside of my house.
Ooh, you better go see. If you were smack-talking Brittany, her clan's out there with pitchforks and torches playing Toxic. They're after you.
Someone's going to be out there with a big old yellow snake doing a dance.
That sounds hot. I'll go check that out.
It's an interesting point in time where Cosby walks... Brittany is getting a law in the books named after the fact that she was a slave in her own skin and career for the last how many years?
To be fair, she wrote a song about that. Well, she performed a song about that.
Since 2008.
It's so wibbly wobbly. Like, how is this our reality? It's just so astounding to me. Or how broken the system is, cleaned down to pop stars being trapped in their own wealth. Sorry, just had a breakdown there.
No, it's...
It doesn't even really have the freedom to decide what to do with her own body. If she wants to have a child, or even if she wants to just... have a normal cycle again.
Yeah, they controlled her birth cycle. Ovulation cycle.
That's a pretty big deal for... that's just a pretty big deal. Like, you are controlling the organs inside of her body.
Is that tantamount to, like, chemical castration, kind of?
No, because as soon as you get an IUD removed, you can immediately begin
you
to...
You can, but try. She's also was being forbade into her 40s, and that's...
No, but, I didn't realize, like, how old she was. I still think that I'm 22, so I thought that she was, like...
No, we're the same age, and I'm 40.
Yeah, she's currently 39, so...
Well, then I guess it is, because, the biological clock is ticking. I mean, you don't have infinite time. So, yeah, I guess in a way it kind of is a little bit of that.
That's an interesting wrinkle.
I mean, if she was 25 and, you know, she got that IUD removed, it wouldn't really be as much of an issue to immediately begin trying to become pregnant and having your cycle start again. But if I think you leave it on inserted for, like, that long... then you're approaching, like, the premenopausal, menopausal age. I don't think it will really start again. I think it kind of will just be like, we're cool. We're done. We're good.
I have no authority to speak on that whatsoever, but in my head, if I was her, it would feel to me like I had been castrated. Like, I would not be able to have a kid even if I wanted to because of that IUD, and it wasn't my choice.
Yeah, I never really took into consideration her age. I kind of thought in my mind, like, oh yeah, I know how it works. So, like, as soon as it's out, she's good. But, yeah, like, your fertility doesn't last
forever. Yeah, well, that thing's propping her open. All of her last eggs are going to roll out, and that's it.
That's exactly how that works, Rob.
I think so.
So, I just want to, this is sort of an aside, forgive me, I just want to throw out it's not a fun fact, it's a fact about women's bodily autonomy in the United States. Did you know, up until mid to late 1970s, the official policy of the United States, when indigenous women had children and had to come, like, leave the reservations to come to United States territory to have children, it was the policy to just tie their tubes after they gave birth without their knowledge.
I did know that.
That's 50 years, folks. 50 years is not that long.
Just wanted to...
And it's just another way that I... First of all, that's huge of being having something done medically inside of your own body without your knowledge is disgusting. Mm-hmm. But that's just taking away your right to reproduce and you know, that's genocide.
Yep.
In a way.
No, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
It is.
It's not. It, yeah. It is.
Yep. All right.
So just try to raise the mood water level of the room here a little bit, but not too much. I think when like cars were first becoming things, and you know, I don't think women were allowed to have driver's licenses or something like that.
The vehicles or the movies?
The vehicles.
Okay.
Movies, like,
just vehicle, checking. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. I just want to know if we were talking about Lightning McQueen or not. I didn't know.
First came to life. I think women couldn't have driver's licenses, but they were allowed to drive as long as their husband walked in front of the car with a flag.
Jesus Christ. What
would they have to, like, bless the car by America?
No, not with an American. Well, I guess it could be an American flag.
No, but I'm pretty sure it was to clear the way for a crazy woman driver.
It was a danger flag because it was a woman driver.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we don't treat women very well. We never really have. But that's at least kind of a funnier story about that same thing.
Yeah, we making a list of who we don't treat well is pretty long. Can we make a list of who we do treat well?
It's one thing, is landowning white men.
Rich white landowning. Yeah, the same kind of guys that wrote the Constitution.
Yep.
Just checking.
What a coincidence.
Just checking.
Cool.
So now that we are thoroughly depressed to talk about something a little more serious, Delta variant breakthrough infections. I actually seen on mainstream media today that some White House officials and staffers have now tested positive for breakthrough infections of COVID-19. So if people in the White House are getting sick, and you know all their asses are definitely vaxxed, that's not a great sign for the whole, you know, Delta variant thing. I checked some of our local numbers. Here locally, we have 7 cases, which is 7x the last week. And in larger populous areas, they're in the hundreds for positive cases. So that's not great. 2 weeks ago, I did say the people who aren't vaccinated are going to get sick, and people who are vaccinated may be getting sick too. So, thoughts?
Well, I've heard that, is it New York or city or state is thinking of bringing back like mask mandates?
California or LA did, I believe.
Mm.
But LA locked down again.
I was not even aware that LA had locked down again.
Or were considering it, but yeah, they were seeing, you know, the rise before everybody else, I think.
Right, it makes sense just based on population alone.
Sure. Do you think I should start wearing my mask to school again?
I don't think there's any harm in it.
2 feet away from people all the time.
I mean, the mask doesn't really protect you that much, but yeah.
The harm is my mask knee. That's the harm.
And that nobody's wearing them here at all.
No one. It's free for all.
I'm in the Northeast. I'm sure people have put that together already, but yeah, we're done. We're done with that.
Well, yeah, it's just over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of anecdotal stories come through on Imgur, or Imgur, as some people pronounce it incorrectly. That, like, you know, they're a nurse.
Like a GIF. In,
what? That would just pick a subject.
You mean date. GIF?
Anyway.
Sorry.
Like nurses or doctors in, let's say, pick a southern state. I don't know, Mississippi. Doesn't sure. matter. Those where 70% of the people are not vaccinated. Watching people die, asking for the vaccine as they die, and she has to look at these people and say, it's too late.
Brutal.
Now, see, I like this is kind of a good opportunity, listener and pod deus, to look within yourself and think about what if there would be a frown or a smirk, a slight smirk on your face as you told these people this. It's dark, I know, but, you know, we've kind of been saying, sort of sarcastically or sardonically, that, you know, these people are just going to die. And now they are. And until they're dying, they won't consider the vaccine. I saw a story of somebody, I think in Pittsburgh, who, you know, her daughter hadn't gotten the vaccine, albeit eligible. She didn't get the vaccine either. Her daughter's on a ventilator, probably not conscious. Her daughter will, if she makes it through, will be getting the vaccine. I think the mother had gotten it at that point, and they asked the mother, why didn't you get it? And all she said was, you know, I just didn't know. I wasn't informed enough. You know, I may be more cynical than I want to be, but I kind of felt that was a crock of shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it is.
I think that the lengths that have been gone to for education, especially in this area, pretty extensive.
I can give her a little credit, though, on self-preservation. Like, it's a defense mechanism to not blame yourself for your child dying, obviously. But, man, like, I don't know. Like, I'm one of those people that kind of just see things as they are. And, you know, you didn't get the vaccine despite it being free and despite doctors telling you to. And now you have a mild case of it, and you probably gave it to your daughter.
It's a harsh reality, but once again, to them beds that you make, you lie in. Brutal. Yeah,
I don't know what to do about that. I don't know. I'm struggling with how to feel about it. Like, it's a really weird place to be.
I wish I could feel sarcastically giddy about it, but I don't think I can. I just feel sad for their ignorance. Sorry, well, Chad, no. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's good, Rob. I mean, like, feeling sad for these people, right? Because they've been duped, you know? I mean, they have been fed these lies from, you know, these people trying to, I mean, whether they believe it or they're just trying to make a buck or whatever, have, like, fed all these conspiracy nonsense theories, and, like, people are now suffering, and I think that's the difference. We have to take, like, we have to, you know, again, be compassionate, be human about this, because it's, you know, we don't want to be like the smug cosmopolitan, oh, those dumb hicks, right? Those dumb country bumpkins that just believe their conspiracy theories and watch their Fox News. I mean, no, these people have been duped by people just trying to make profits, and now they're suffering. So we have to, you know, keep our humanity and our empathy for these people, and like, try to, you know, move forward in a way that doesn't embrace these conspiracy theories. But I mean, it's hard too, because I mean, if you think about it, like, if you're someone who's, you know, not white, and the government is like, here, take this vaccine, like, maybe you should be wary about that. Considering, you know, what was the experiment where they just gave a bunch of...
Tuskegee experiment.
Yeah, they just gave them syphilis, and they're like, we're not going to tell you.
And then for years after the cure was developed, they just let them fucking rot because they wanted to see what would happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, it's disgusting.
So we have to measure that as well, like, depending on who... But then there's also people that can't get the vaccine for whatever reason.
Yes. And that's who the healthy should be getting vaccinated to help protect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I have been kind of trying to drive at. I guess maybe my situation is a little different. Since I'm in school, most of my classmates are like 18 to 22-ish. And I'm like geriatric in the class. But anyway, there are the majority in my class right now are not vaccinated, and so I've just kind of been trying to go to every person individually, like, kind of sneaking in and being like, so why aren't you, like, what's your reason? And I've convinced two people to get vaccinated. So one person said that they were just worried about the side effects, and they said, well, my mom and this and that, blah blah blah. And I was like, well, how old is your mom? And how old is this person that told you? And I'm just going to be honest. I think that side effects for it are worse the older you are. So I'm 34. It affected me, like, for a full, like, day. I felt like I was out, just out of commission. And I was like, girlfriend, you are 20 years old. You're going to have like 6 hours of discomfort. You really think that 6 hours of maybe feeling not that great is an excuse for you to not get a vaccine when you could be helping the herd immunity for millions of people? And she was like, well, I've never thought about it like that. And I was like, well, you fucking should, bitch.
But that's...
I didn't say that.
The propaganda about that is everywhere.
But I wanted to.
But I think that's also... That's a good point that you brought up as sort of like an aside from like your situation where like, it you know, I think it's really valid. Like, okay, you're in school. Maybe you have a part-time job or whatever. Like, get vaccinated. But I think that's another problem that we don't think about, right? Because like... You know, if you are on the fence about getting vaccinated and you can't take a day off work because you can't afford it.
And literally, if you do, you're going to get shit canned.
Right. And like the moratorium on rents is up very soon. I don't know. It won't be up by this episode's release, but very soon after, like, you know, if you working every day and you don't have time off, like, depends on you being there, like, you can't risk, you know, you can't, like, get the vaccine and, like, risk taking a day off and then, like, lose your house or whatever.
Much less do it twice.
Right.
That's also very true because you have to take into consideration, like, the second one is probably going to be a little worse. I feel like I just got lucky because I... at work, actually, the majority of people are vaccinated, and like my boss was vaccinated, and I was like, yeah, I could only work like 3 days this 1 week because I'm getting the vaccination, blah blah blah. And he was like, oh yeah, you should, if you're getting it on Friday, like, I don't expect to see you till like Monday, because when he got it, he said that it took him like 2 days. He was kind of out of it. Kind of got lucky in having that good like camaraderie with my actual boss. But yeah, there's plenty of people, and I mean, I had it on a Friday and I make the majority of money on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, so I definitely felt it when I, like, not just the side effects or whatever, but financially, because it was a weekend where I couldn't work and then another weekend like a couple weeks later. Sure. So it was, you know, the majority of my income gone. But like I said, I'm privileged. I've got a nice boyfriend. He'll buy me a meal if I need it.
and it's really dire in this country how, like, I mean, I ecstatic. You can feel that, like, oh, we're finally providing something for people for free, healthcare wise, right? Like, finally, like, the government is like, everyone gets this vaccine for free. We're paying for it, but it's not enough. If there's side effects, like, you have to give people a sick day. Like, the government should also be providing it 1 to 2 sick days for every person for...
Or just a stipend of something. Even if I got... Honestly, even if I got, like, $50 or $100 or, like, any dollar, that would have been better than, like, completely losing all income for the weekend because I was just in bed asleep.
But, like, I can kind of see all these points, but just in a rationale check way, what value can you put on, you know, a 99.9% chance of surviving COVID and, you know, the chance to not get sick at all? Yes, it did cost a little financially as well as a little blah feeling, but...
It might be a little for that day, but it might be a lot for, you know, fired for taking time off, then...
Right, you get fired and then you can't feed your kids... And then you can't pay your rent.
You dying of COVID in that case would be better than you killing your kids because you can't feed them.
Well, yeah, because then you don't have to watch them die.
That's not really... Well, I guess in like...
Or maybe you have life insurance and give them some money.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark. It's dark to think about. But yeah. It's not that we tend to bungle this at every step of the way. I think is what Jared's sort of trying to get at or getting at or saying, is that, like, all of these things, these aren't really mistakes. These are just the way our country, our system, our economy works. And that's what we filter everything through. Like, yeah, vaccine's free, but, you know, it's way more free to somebody that can afford to take the time off of work than it is for somebody that can't. Or it's way more free for somebody that doesn't lose time because they had a bad reaction to it, or et cetera, et cetera. Like, I had a bad day. I got the Johnson & Johnson one shot, and I had to take a day off of doing anything. All of my parents got the two shots, and they were all fine, oddly enough. But yeah, it's tough because we're not really up against a virus. We're also up against a system, both healthcare and economic, that don't want us to live either.
Is it that it doesn't want us to live or just don't care if we live?
I guess both of those things don't really care if we live.
Right.
They just care that they live.
They want us to live as long as we're making profit. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, Jared, right. You said something earlier that I thought was interesting. You said that they were duped out of their worth. And I think that that was kind of an interesting point that I think that all the boomers, all the bootstrapped ideology people, they were duped out of their worth overall.
It's hard to convince somebody that they were duped. It's easy to dupe somebody. Hard to tell them that they've been duped.
Yeah. It's hard to hear, hey, everything you've ever worked for your whole life was actually so someone else could make a ton of money off the sweat of your brow. And if you're lucky, you might get to retire for your last 10 years.
The only reason you have a pension is because the USSR existed. So the United States had a counterbalance to capitalism that they had to prove we were better. But hey, if we want to have some positive news,
wait, are we ready for positive news? Are we ready for that shift? Didn't we have to talk about Fox's human resources? Isn't this going to get darker before it gets better with all the satanic worship they do and stuff?
That's just hypocrisy. Like, whatever. That's just conservatives being conservatives.
It's hypocrisy. It's again, the wrestling show that we watch. Yep. It's, you know, all of the pundits, all of the talking heads on Fox News are telling us, don't get the vaccine. Watch out for, you know, businesses. What's next? They're going to make us carry around vaccine passports, and that's anti-American. What about my freedom? But Fox uses vaccine passport. Wow, I just said passporn.
Passporn, sweet.
Got Brandy Love on the brain, yeah.
Actually, no, I didn't really find her. She wasn't my cup of tea.
Moving on.
Anyway, so Fox uses in their offices vaccine passports. Like, the people telling you how bad the vaccines are. One, they're vaccinated, and two, they're using vaccine passports. So yeah, anyway, we can go on to some happier things now.
Hello.
Hi, Draft. You can stick your head in. Yay!
Okay, did you find something good America did?
No. I'm convinced that they just don't, that we just don't do good things.
That's what we were just talking about.
Well, yeah, speaking of don't do good things, do we expect anything less than 100% and pure utter hypocrisy from that wing? They are always going to say one thing and do the other. That's just what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it is hypocrisy, though. It's just profit. They could just do whatever the most profitable thing is. They're not really being purposefully hypocritical. They're just being purposefully ringleader. They're just trying to make money. That's all they're doing.
Well, I guess in that sense, you could say the Democrats were the real hypocrites because they pretend to say they're going to help you, but then they don't.
Yeah, in that sense, yes, Democrats would be the hypocrites.
So all politicians are hypocrites.
In bourgeois liberal democracy, yes. Yes.
Noted. To put a pin in the Delta variant thing before we move on, unfortunately, as far as epidemiology goes, I'm not an epidemiologist, but a long time ago I said, people are going to get sick, it's going to mutate. We'll get a vaccine, and if people don't get it, it's going to continue to mutate. We have the Delta now. It's going to start posing an issue. I'm not super concerned about Delta. I'm concerned about two or three mutations beyond this, where our cushion, the vaccinated, becomes less effective. So I can almost guarantee everyone who has had a vaccine is getting a booster in the next 9 to 24 months.
I also was saying for a while that eventually there will be a variant that will affect the young, because everybody kept saying, well, this virus doesn't affect young people. It doesn't affect young people. Eventually there will be one that does. This is the one that does. This is the one that affects the subsection of young people that aren't able to get the vaccine. get the vaccine to protect the young people who aren't able to get it, because this is the one that targets children. Get the vaccine. It targets children.
Seeing a lot of back to school shopping happening right now.
But I mean, also we have to think globally, because God, I just saw something. I forget what country it was. It was something like Haiti just received their first shipment of the vaccine.
Well, we had to kill their president first before we could send it to him.
Yeah. That was the thing. We had to kill the
president. Jesus.
But I mean, if we think about it, like a worldwide, I mean, COVID's ravaging other sections of the world right now, and we're just we have people in the United States. I mean, not only are corporations withholding the vaccine for profits, but you know, we have people duped by, you know, other people trying to make profits in different avenues for them to not get the vaccine. And you know, we talk like, yeah, you just said like the Delta variant, but like the next one that just goes around because we're not vaccinating the world, even though we could. We're
and
not.
There will be a next one. That's what coronaviruses are good at, and that is adapting to survive. It's a particularly specialized feature that they have, and boy, this one's proven itself. It has, what, the first real issue was 50% more efficacious in spread, and this one is 100% more efficacious of spread on top of that. If you're in a room where someone has it, you're exposed. You're going to get it. So yeah, Rochelle, maybe you might want to wear a mask with all those unvaccinated teeny boppers breathing disease.
Fuck's sake. I was just trying to clear up my mask, me. Okay?
Embrace the acne.
Wear a mask again. Well, now I don't have to care because I'm just going to be covering it up.
I mean, the problem is, like, the cross-section of people you're interviewing, Rochelle, they're all just doomers that want to be around animals to make them happy.
Or just to euthanize them all day long.
They don't care.
Shit.
Jeez, Rob, you're going dark tonight.
Oh, my God. I fell down a rabbit hole the other day looking at this behaviorist who's pretty famous, and she...
What was her name?
She committed suicide with Sophia Yin, Dr. Sophia Yin.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Well, she wasn't
Pavlov?
An animal.
That's a Pavlov joke.
Pavlov joke.
God damn it. Anyway, I guess I also have been finding out that like suicide rates among veterinary professionals are like 3 times higher than other. I know.
It's like they kill Lassie 3 times a week.
Yeah, I know. We had like this whole big conversation about compassion burnout, having too much empathy, and I'm just like, for fuck's sake, what am I doing?
What is the pod stand on animals dying being worse than humans dying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
for sure.
Harder to watch a dog die than it is to watch grandma die.
Yeah, 50-50, but they're bad. It's just all bad.
It depends on the grandma.
It's
be
hard
real.
To see the It's also very difficult to see the human's reaction to the animal dying because they're just... We also got to watch like an hour's worth of euthanasia videos the other day in class, and I was just like weeping. So I had to like walk out of class.
Apologies to Rochelle. She had a wonderful and moving inspirational quote to close out our dark and devious episode, and I never let her do it because we spun down a wild rabbit hole of tears and pain and shame that is not meant for the internet. That'll be released on our OnlyFans. You heard it here first. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review wherever you found our pod. That's how we get noticed, and we love to get noticed. And congratulations again goes to our secret June winner.
Congratulations, winner.